Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And Cherie is joining us today with a book called Deal with the Devil, but it is part of the Mercenary Librarian series, is that right?
This is the first book launching the Mercenary Librarian series, and I mean, they had me at Mercenary Librarians.
Exactly. I mean, we might be a little biased, but all of us were very excited to hear about this book.
Yes, this is the first book I've ever read by the author, which is Kit Rocha, or Rocha. I'm guessing it's Rocha, which is a pen name for a writing team of Bree Bridges and Donna Heron.
Okay.
So it's written by two people. I couldn't tell. They did a really good job.
Are they librarians? Sorry.
It doesn't say that. Okay. It does say they live 3 miles apart in Alabama and take care of critters and things when they're not writing. I was excited to read this book partly because of the cover, which is also pretty darned evocative. It's got your heroine, your presumed heroine, standing on top of a heap of books in a post-apocalyptic world, holding a book in one hand and a gun in the other. So,
if you guys want to know how to market to a librarian crowd, there you have it.
A lot of books.
There you go. So
I'm assuming, from what you've told us, a supernatural librarian series.
More a little bit of superpowered.
Superpowered, okay.
Yeah. So this world is, this book is set in 2086, and a solar flare came through and wiped out the electromagnetic grid of the United States circa 2043. So this is post-solar flare apocalypse.
Okay.
There's so many post-different types of apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just glad it's not post-plague. Let's be real.
This is not a post-plague.
I like a good solar flare apocalypse. Yeah.
This is a solar flare apocalypse. The infrastructure has collapsed. The United States isn't really a thing anymore. Different areas are, like, there's the heartlands, there's the mountain communes, and this book takes place in Atlanta, which is in the tech core section of what used to be the United States. Starts in the city of Atlanta and walks out from that.
Okay.
I will say I always enjoy a post-US where they kind of take the words used to describe certain regions and rename those regions. I do enjoy that because you can tell where they are generally in your mind.
And she even has a map! Yeah. Nice!
There's a map to help with that because I always love a good map.
Oh, where are we? What?
Apparently we got absorbed into Mexico.
We're in the Deadlands.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But if you look, I think, doesn't that show that the Houston area is part of Mexico now?
Texas and the Panhandle is in the Deadlands, and the Gulf Coast of Texas is in Old Mexico.
Old Mexico. I'm okay with it. I've been studying Spanish.
Yeah.
This book features some very practical kick-butt heroines and some fairly desperate kick-butt gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
The mercenary aspect comes in because your protagonist, Nina, and her two cohorts are information brokers.
Okay.
In this future, the librarian does not mean what you think it means when you hear the word librarian. Nina and her two cohorts sort of run their section of their neighborhood, which is outside of what the Tech Corps cares about. Tech Corps polices and enforces regulations and law in its immediate proximity to its headquarters, things like that. But if you're not useful to Tech Corps, they could care less about you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rather lawless. So Nina and her friends watch out for their community. One of the things they do is they have a printing press type book printing machine. They lend books. They watch out for their neighborhood.
That still sounds kind of librarian-ish to me.
Yeah, a little more mercenary, but same general principle.
So how big is their community that they are keeping an eye on?
You don't spend much time in their neighborhood, so you don't really get boundaries, an idea of boundaries. Nina owns a building, and you go to a bar in the area, but mainly Nina, you get the overall impression that Nina and her cohorts, Danny and Maya, they're watching out for themselves, but they're also watching out for their neighborhood. So when they're trying to score a deal, broker some information, get some resources, they also redistribute those resources to others in need in their neighborhood. One of the things that Nina has been wanting to do is install heating before winter comes.
Okay.
In the basement and things so that people in the area won't freeze to death. They have a place to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in every apocalyptic novel, there's like a range of eras that the civilization has come back to. Can you give us like a general, is like an Old West feel? Like where people have weaponry, but they're not necessarily, like, you know, maybe there's, like, two electric lights, but...
Yeah, there's no heating or AC. We're kind of back to...
Where are we on the rebuilding society spectrum?
It depends on whether you're in the tech core or in one of the industrialized centers.
Okay.
That has rebuilt its own grid at its own expense, mm-hmm. or whether you're on the outskirts.
Okay.
So there's a lot of crumbling infrastructure mm-hmm. around. So this is... The closest comparison I can come to it is a 20-year-old television series called Dark Angel that was sort of future apocalyptic, mm-hmm. and that featured, long story short, I loved that series. It had Jessica Alba, and I'm blanking on the actor's name. He went on to play Tony on NCIS. It had good actors in it. It was gritty. It was post-apocalyptic, and it was urban.
Okay.
So this had a feel, although they do go on a road trip. Mm-hmm. The potential antagonist is the men, the Silver Devils. They were an elite military enforcement force for the Protectorate until they lost faith in their bosses and went rogue. But the trouble is, when you work in the tech core for the Protectorate, you get artificial enhancements with fail-safes built in.
Mm.
So their implants that help make them super soldiers are going to break down and kill them.
Okay, so they've, like, rebuilt to, like, cyberpunk levels.
And... Cyberpunk levels. Okay. Yeah.
I wasn't sure, because tech core, I wasn't sure if they were, like, at today's level of tech, but they're, like, beyond.
They
already.
Have cyber super soldiers, yes. sort of.
Well, it kind of reminds me of, like, District 1 in Hunger Games versus the outskirts are going to be more like 12, but anyway.
Yes, and then there's Nina, who was born outside of tech core, and born is a bit generous. She was created in a cloning facility that produced clusters of clones in groups of three. So when Nina grew up, it was with her cluster of her sister Ava, who was the intellect enhanced clone, and Zoe, who was the empathy enhanced clone, and then Nina, who was physical prowess and leadership.
Empathy, like fantastical, like empathy, like she can sense other people, or like literally super, just very nice,
like super sensitive. They don't spend a great deal of time on Zoe because, spoilers, she gets killed.
Yeah, she's,
well before the start,
superpower is
empathy.
Nice.
So she's basically like a lamb before the slaughter.
Well,
there,
before the start of this book, you see in flashbacks to mm-hmm. Nina's past that her sister Zoe was killed outright in the last mission that they went on, mm-hmm. and that Ava was critically injured and you know also no longer there. So then there was Nina,
mm-hmm.
and Nina was farmed out because she wasn't useful to the Franklin Institute anymore. Her cluster was gone. She was solo. Mm-hmm. Like, we will get you a job somewhere with people who sucked. And she noped her way out of there, headed south for Atlanta, and started over building a new life. And built herself a new family with Danny, who is... Danny and Maya were both from tech core and both got out.
Mm-hmm.
Danny is enhanced physically, super fighter, super capable.
Mm-hmm.
Also cannot feel pain. That's her weakness. Because if you can't feel pain, you can't tell if you're bleeding to death.
It's true. It's a bad thing.
Bad thing. And Maya, who was enhanced so that she has perfect auditory recall. She cannot forget anything that she hears.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah.
So that's...
Forgetting is nice.
Sometimes forgetting is nice. So that's Nina's new family. So Nina is still a leader. She is also physically very, very, very strong and fast. She mm-hmm. dodges bullets on page one.
Oh, my. So, okay, you said they had a printing press. Do they print, like, books or pamphlets of some kind? What kind of stuff are they
It's
printing?
Referenced in passing, and that's why I say the title's a little bit misleading.
Okay.
When Nina and her new family are making plans to go off with the Silver Devils for mm-hmm. the score of the century, because lure, the devils are under a deadline. That's the men. Their implants are breaking down, and someone kidnapped the person who can keep that from happening
mm-hmm.
and said, you will go, and you, in turn, will kidnap this woman, Nina, and bring her to us alive and unharmed, and then you'll get your tech wizard back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how are you going to... They're doing scouting in this, and the leader of the Silver Devils, Knox, sees Nina dodge bullets in an alley first thing and kill four guys like they weren't even there. And he's like, well, plan A of grab her off the street is off the table. What do we got? And what they've got is that a member of the Silver Devils had an uncle who was involved in hiding basically the Library of Congress digital files.
Mm.
So the rumored secret stash that is the Library
like
of Congress.
It's like national treasure, but just books.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the score of the century for an information broker. Hey, Nina, got a proposal for you. If you want to go with us to retrieve this information store, we'll do a split. Mm-hmm. And of course, Nina and her coworkers smell a rat, but yeah, I mean, you've also got the score of the century in front of you, so.
They smell a rat on a giant pile of cheese.
They do. So.
Well, that sounds really interesting. It sounds like a fast-paced book. Like, now, it probably doesn't give you a lot of chance to.
And you've said before we went live that you really liked the writing. Do you have a sample for us?
I do. I mean, they hooked me at sentence one, which was, here's your very first chapter official sentence. They've got inter-chapter references back to the growing up times of Nina's clone group and of Nox's joining of the Super Soldier Program. Mm-hmm. Chapter one, line one. Nina had broken the cardinal rule, and now she had to kill someone. Okay, I'm in.
I'm just going to be honest. Librarians across the nation understand how that feels.
Well, a little later on, Nina is chatting with her sisters, and basically Nina got busted. The cardinal rule is you don't go out after dark alone. Mm-hmm. And her sisters, her new work sisters, busted her on that.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, crap, now we've got to go work out, including you, Maya. Maya's like, uh-uh, super soldier. Superpowers, nada. And they said, well, what are you going to do if you can't run away or whatever? She's like, I'll count on all of y'all to avenge me. And this is my other favorite line. I'm going to bleep in there. Not if you give up without a bleeping fight, Danny snorted. Haunt me forever, see if I care. I'm not embarking on a dark path of vengeance and death because you skipped cardio. So I like the writing. It could be very dark.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the themes are dark. You've got these two groups are set up with no trust from the beginning. And a known betrayal coming.
Is there,
but you're still rooting for them.
Is there a romance between our main character and...
And the leader of the Silver Devils?
The leader of the Silver Devils.
There is, because where I heard about this book was on a romance e-newsletter.
Oh, it was your favorite e-newsletter?
It is. It's a romance e-newsletter, and the publishers or somebody had bought an ad for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I saw the ad enough times, I was like, okay, whatever, I will go give this a look. And I was like, ooh, hooked.
Was that the same one that you've mentioned before?
It was.
Same newsletter?
Yep.
Okay.
Smart snitches, trashy books.
So one of my favorite things with post-apocalyptic books is when you're exploring some of the bones of the original society. Do you get any like significant moments of that in this book?
You do get a bit because there is a road trip involved.
Mm-hmm.
So these people head off down the decrepit road. They occasionally have to clear trees from it. And they have to take shelter at one point in an abandoned ancient old movie theater. At another time in some sort of warehouse. And this is where I say it's sort of a practical post-future apocalypse. They try to get things working. They try to get a solar generator up so they can run fans. Because did I mention this is July in the South?
Yeah.
Or August at the latest.
Mm-hmm.
In the, like now. It's very hot. It's very humid. So you do see relics of previous civilizations. They talk about ads for condos that were on sale now for 2043.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add in about this book that you think it's important for readers to know?
I think that if you like urban fantasy adventure with a dash of romance,
mm-hmm.
if you like booty-kicking, practical, gritty heroes or heroines, and someone described this as competence porn, yeah. These people are not incompetent. They might make poor choices, but it's not out of foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
Although, that does bring me to one question. Is everybody in this world enhanced?
No.
Okay.
But you don't spend much time with the people who are normal people. Because
they don't matter. No, I'm teasing.
Because they're just living their normal lives.
Well, I mean, the barkeeper is a regular person with a gun because, come on, post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Slightly Old West tone in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
There are regular, ordinary people. In fact, that's who they leave in charge of the book press while they're off.
Okay.
Going to try and retrieve the Digital Library of Congress, but your focus is on the fairly superpowered protagonists.
Even the apocalypse, and I'm still in the 99%.
I know, right?
I don't think I'd take the trade.
<That's>
you can
fair.
Have that perfect recall and all
I'll
that
just hang
stuff.
Out in the bar, printing press.
Is there any food that you'd recommend pairing with this book?
Well, I mean, we're recording this as there's potentially a hurricane in the Gulf, so chowing down with your hurricane supplies is fairly appropriate.
A good pairing with a post-apocalyptic novel.
Yeah, a good indestructible MRE.
I would say a good hard cider or a beer, if that's something would be on theme. And food generally, they do eat in this book. They don't pretend that you don't eat anything or drink anything, and yet, you know, you live a long, happy life.
All right. That's all the questions I have. Thank you so much for bringing a very intriguing book. I know it will interest all of our librarians, and hopefully it will interest our other readers as well.
Mm-hmm. Long wait for book 2.
Oh, no. It came out this year, didn't it?
This came out this month.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
I like being the first person to read things. This is your opportunity.
Okay. And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.